Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. After becoming a mother, author Laurel Lorraine Lancer began having panic attacks. She developed agoraphobia and, upon recommendations from a psychiatrist, checked herself into a private mental hospital. Her new book, Just for the Summer, Memoirs from a Mental Health Hospital, describes her experiences during her month-long stay in a mental health hospital in the 1960s. Similar to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Laurel's story of her 30 days of treatment provides an expose of the pitifully inadequate treatment for mental health issues at that time. Dr. Lancer has earned advanced degrees in higher education and psychology, retired from teaching and counseling. She has two children, always wanted to tell her story. She's also the author of five books, Love is in the Room, for example, A Walk from the Sea and Where Fairies Are, and this book we're talking about in the program today, Just for the Summer, Dr. Laurel Lorraine Lancer, our guest on This Week in America. Dr. Lancer, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you.
This is such an important book. It really takes us back in time, and it's shocking when we go back a few decades and we see how people were treated. And let's start with the inspiration, why you decided to write this book. It was a pretty powerful message, as I understood, a messenger that guided you to write this book.
Well, I had always, after my hospitalization, I would share stories of things that I thought were kind of humorous that went on in the hospital, or things that I thought were a little sad, and I would share with my family and very close friends. And I had always sort of thought, oh, and say to people, I should write a book about that. And then one day I was in our house of worship and saying a prayer, as we folks usually do, asking for direction. And I actually heard a voice say, write your story. And I thought, oh, yeah. Because in our faith, we're told to keep family history and keep a journal. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'm not keeping my journal. I never even started it. And then it was a strong message. No, not that. A book about the hospital.
Well, it was a strong message.
For a long time.
Yeah, it was a very specific mention message as well, and it's all in the book by Dr. Lancer, Laurel Lorraine Lancer, PhD, our guest on the program. The book is Just for the Summer. You'll find it, of course, at Amazon, linking onto the book directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's go back to where this all began for you, and I mentioned the panic attacks, which increased and turned into agoraphobia. Talk about that, the concern that you had that led to admitting yourself into a mental health hospital.
Well, I had my second child and went into a little bit of postpartum depression, but I started having real anxiety and afraid to be home alone during the day, I had been teaching, and I had some difficulty with that. I started having small panic attacks at school, and when I'd have them, I'd step out in the hallway, take a couple of deep breaths, and go back in. But they got a little stronger, and one day it was so bad I was in tears, and I went down to the principal's office and told him I'd have to quit teaching. And the psychiatrist that I was seeing at that time for my anxiety told my husband she'll never teach again. But I went back a couple years later and taught for 42 years.
I was going to say, that was a long, illustrious career, 42 years that I mentioned in the open. When you're confronting all of this back at that time and faced with going into the hospital for 30 days, what were your expectations, and did you have any idea what the world was that you were about to get into?
Oh, no, no. My mother had had a, quote, nervous breakdown when I was a small child, and she talked about going to the hospital and that, and this is another thing, at that time, they were putting people with mental problems and emotional problems in big tubs of hot water and then cold water, and they were very deep tubs. She described them when she got back. And I thought that, you know, that's just weird. But I knew that I was going to have insulin shock therapy, but I didn't really know what that was. I knew what electric shock therapy was. I had heard about that. I had one neighbor that had been there, been in a hospital and had electroshock. And I found out later, after my hospitalization, I went back to get my master's degree and was working on some classes in psychology, and they showed an electric shock treatment. Of course, I had already seen them in real life.
Yes, yes.
But I'll tell you, the film, I had to get up and leave the class.
Well, talk about the types of treatment you've mentioned in general terms. Talk about that. And for those of us who grew up during that time, we're familiar with the terms but had no idea the ramifications. Talk about the types of treatment that you were subjected to and what you saw other people subjected to.
Well, we were in a long room that was, there were cots lined up and curtains between each cot, and then there was one room where there were just cots around, and they were all laying on cots, and I was in that room when I observed the treatments. One of the nurses said, "Oh, wait, Laurel's awake. She's watching." And they had... Some of the patients were tied down, because when they were having the insulin therapy, they would go through weird gyrations. I never knew what caused that. And the electric shock was a medical professional would come and put a box near them and give them an electric shock, and they'd go into seizure. And the seizures were kind of scary to watch, and the insulin therapy was even worse with weird gyrations. This one woman would raise up, and it was a rhythmic thing she was doing, and her tongue would come out, and then she'd pull her tongue back in and lay back down, and then she'd raise up again. It was really very frightening.
With us on the program is Laurel Lorraine Lancer, Ph.D., author of the book Just for the Summer, talking about her experiences specifically during this 30-day stay. Talk about some of the other people who were there. What issues were they dealing with?
There were a lot of different, what would I say, medical aberrations or... there was one that definitely, when I knew about different diagnoses after I'd been hospitalized, I realized what some of them were. There was severe depression with a number of patients. One woman had her little toddler was dying of pneumonia, and they had told her that they couldn't do anything for her, and so she was making weird noises and choking and unable to catch her breath, and the mother got frightened and threw a blanket over her and ran to the police station and turned herself in, said, "I killed my baby," and this was all over the newspaper. So the paparazzi were around her house, and her psychiatrist put her in the hospital to keep her away from that situation. So, and there was another woman who had lost a child, and she would go out to the cemetery every day and was obsessed with just going to the cemetery. And her husband and doctor put her in. There was another one that, you know, I didn't know what I would have called it at the time, but later I realized that she had schizophrenia, really, really bad. She was a paranoid schizophrenic, and she was angry. Her father had broken up her relationship. That she thought she was madly in love with this guy, and she was real obsessed with strange things she thought he was doing, and she put meanings on the fact that he wore a brown suit, and that the flowers that were sent to her were red, and she was real obsessed with it. And she'd say to me, "You know, it's red, and you know what that means." So she was, they had an annex there, and after your treatments, you would usually be sent to the annex for a couple days until you were sent home. And she had gotten to the annex and was about ready to go home, and I went up to her room to get her to go to dinner, and she was pulling all of her clothing out of her closet and ripping it up with a razor blade. And of course I got a hold of the nurse, and she called the main building, and they came and took her back, and I assume started treatments all over again. I don't know, but she was pretty sad. And I had a roommate that was obsessed with the fact that her husband had been bitten by a stray cat, and she was afraid he was going to die this horrible death from rabies. So she was obsessed about the date, and every day she would ask me, "What day is this? What's the date today?" And she finally told me her story, and what she had done was told her husband, let's go out for the evening. And they went to a movie and to dinner, and then she got in the glove compartment and pulled out a gun, pointed it at him, and she was going to kill him so that he would not suffer rabies death. And I guess she just couldn't shoot him. You know, her telling me that she had intended to.
Yes.
It was kind of frightening to be a roommate.
How did you handle all of that, all of this going on around you, and then the electroshock therapy, the insulin shock therapy? How did you handle all of that during the 30-day period?
I think I was really very kind to most of the patients. There were some that were annoying, and I'm kind of a smart aleck, and I handled a lot with humor and smart-ass remarks.
Yes.
To people, and I was kind of a troublemaker. I facilitated two people, women patients. I helped them run away, get out of the hospital.
Well, I was going to say, in reading, you were not really a passive patient, were you? You were very aggressive at times in expressing yourself, and in this case, helping other people.
Well, yeah, I was really kind of flippant, and the night nurse, when she came on, we'd all be in the day room, and there weren't enough couches and chairs there, so people would be sitting on the floor, and she was going around to each patient and taking their blood pressure and their pulse and talking to them a little bit. And she came over, and she was working her way around the room, and she came to me, and she took my blood pressure and my pulse, and then she said, "Did you have a bowel movement today?" And I said, "Why, yes, did you?" So excitedly. And she looked at me kind of funny, and she said, "Well, you know, I have to ask this because," and she started to explain, and I let my face just fall, and I said, "Oh, I thought you were trying to start a conversation." She said, "Oh, that's how it is. When I need an enema, you guess who's going to get it?" And I think she thought that was kind of funny. She started coming to my room after she did her rounds, and she would come regularly and just sit and talk, and we'd talk about the patients and what had gone on in the hospital for the day. And one day she said to me, "I've figured out what's everybody's problem here, but I don't see what's wrong with you. What is your problem? And I said, oh, I really don't have one. I just come for the summers. And that's the title of my book.
Just the name of the book, Just for the Summer. And, boy, time is going by so quickly. The book is Just for the Summer, Memoirs from a Mental Health Hospital. The author, our guest, Laurel Lorraine Lancer, Ph.D. The book, once again, Just for the Summer. Books available at barnesandnoble.com, for example. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to the Barnes & Noble site, get information on the book, and purchase that there as well. Several things come to mind as we're talking here. When you left at the end of 30 days, were you better, more stable than you were when you went in at the beginning? I guess I'm asking, did it help?
I was told I had to go home. We lived in a suburb of the city where the hospital was, and it was about a 40-minute drive home. And I was told I had to make it home twice before he would release me. So we went the first time. My husband was going to take me home, and when we got to the two major intersections at the very center of Denver, I started to get very anxious, and I started to cry and insisted that he take me back, you know. And so when the doctor said, did you make it home? I said, no. And he said, what happened? I said, well, when we got to, and I named the intersection, he said, what the hell did your husband take you there for? He said, I told him to circumvent the downtown area. So many years later, I realized that a lot of things were kind of provoked. I was being provoked to get upset with things that my husband knew would upset me.
And you're very honest in the book, talking about the poor marriage with your ex-husband, I will point out. Laurel Lorraine Lancer, Ph.D., author of the book Just for the Summer, is our guest on the program. You've been very honest, and I'm sure it was difficult to write the book in some of these areas and go back, the painful areas that you recall. What do you hope the reader takes away from reading the book Just for the Summer?
I would hope that a lot of people in the mental health field would read it so that they would see the lack of sensitivity toward people with mental problems. And also, it could be very instructional in helping them see different forms of mental illness from what I saw in the hospital, and tried to relate and make a story about each patient that I had come in close contact with. There were some very obnoxious ladies who, one of them even picked up a card table in their bedroom. There were four of them in one large room, and all of them had lawsuits going against probably the doctor, but they had a lawyer trying to get them out. This was a locked hospital. The wards were all locked, and I helped two of the patients escape, and that was a little bit of I think they didn't like me very well for that.
Well, I'm sure of that. I mean, all of these stories you'll find in the book Just for the Summer. A few minutes left. What was writing the book, what was this process like for you? Did you maybe better understand what you were going through with the wisdom of the degree in psychology and several decades?
Yes, I did. Like I said, when they showed the film about electroshock therapy, I couldn't stay there for it. But, you know, to have personal experience like that, when I went back to teaching, I taught regular classroom for about 3 years, and then I took the first class that they'd ever had in our school district. It was rather large school district with three high schools that I took the first emotionally disturbed classroom in the elementary school, and I had nine disturbed little boys. And I taught the emotionally disturbed children for 5 years, and then I decided that was enough of that, and I had taken classes in learning disabilities, so I was working with the dyslexic students then for most of the rest of my career.
With us on the program, Laurel Lorraine Lancer, PhD. The book is Just for the Summer. The book available at barnesandnoble.com. You'll find it at the usual places. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to get information on the book and order that as well. I'm going to take 30, 60 seconds here at the end. If somebody is listening and going, why would I seek help? Because the treatment sounds brutal. It dramatically has changed over the years, hasn't it?
Well, you know,
or has it?
Really alerted to the terrible treatment when they came out with the snake pit and realized that it seems that what the mental health people have been trying to do for numbers of years is to shock people out of their the way they're functioning at the time, and that's what they did with the snake pit, and then one flew over the cuckoo's nest.
Yes.
I think they were doing electroshock in that book. They are no longer doing the insulin shock therapy. The insulin shock therapy involved them shooting you in the buttocks with a dosage of insulin, and then when you gradually fell asleep, the patients all thought they were just falling asleep. The house doctor said to me, why are you frightened? He said, the other patients aren't frightened. And I said, they don't know what's happening to them.
Yes.
And he said, well, what do you think is happening? And I said, I know what's happening. You shoot me with insulin, and when the insulin gets activated in my body, I go into a coma. And after I'm in a coma a certain period of time, you put a hose down my nose and put some glucose into my stomach. And I said, if you don't do it at the right time, I probably would be a goner. And he said, oh, okay. So it was okay to be frightened, I guess. They did quit doing the insulin shock because of the danger. There was some incidents of death, but I don't know how high it was. But I certainly worried and thought that could happen to me, because I came out of the insulin therapy room and looked at the chart one time, and I saw I was getting 450 units of insulin, and the next highest dosage was a 6-foot man who looked like a football player, and he was getting 250. So that really frightened me.
Boy, that would. I mean, so many great stories, shocking stories in the book, Just for the Summer, Memoirs from a Mental Health Hospital. The author, our guest, is Laurel Lorraine Lancer, PhD. Book available at barnesandnoble.com. Go to our website, and you can link on directly to get information on the book. Doctor, it's been a pleasure to have you on the program, a very important book. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. It's been a pleasure to have you on and listen to your story and share it with our listeners.
Thank you very much.
It is.
Oh, I wanted to tell you one thing.
Yes.
We had a OT, occupational therapy room there, and I was going, and one of the ladies asked me, you know, why are you embroidering? And I said, you know, you have to embroider at least two sets of pillowcases before they'll let you go home. And it started a run on the OT shop.
And they're worried about all the supplies are going out. Who's going to pay for all of these? So it was, once again, you were not a passive patient during the time there. The book is Just for the Summer. Laurel Lorraine Lancer, PhD, our guest on the program. Again, the book available at barnesandnoble.com. You'll get more information by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.